Okay, so let's start. Welcome to the EBXML and Related Technologies Awareness Series. My name is Sascha Schlegel. I'm working for Cyclone Commerce X-Way. Today is June 6th, 2006. Today's topic is EBXML messaging. And my guests today are Ian Jones, Dr. Jacques Durand, and Mike Dillon. Hi, Ian. Can you hear me?
Hi, Sascha. Yes, I can hear you clearly. Thank you.
Ian is working for the British Telecom UK, and Ian is also the chair of the EBXML Messaging Technical Committee. Ian, please tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work related to EBXML messaging.
Thank you, Sascha, for giving me the opportunity to talk in this series. I have been involved with EBXML messaging from the very beginning of the EBXML project back in 1999, and I've been chair for the last 4 years now, mainly pushing the development after the initial version 1 release to both version 2 and shortly version 3, and I have been trying to encourage the development and use of messaging both within my own organization, BT, and at a wider business community. And one of the drivers we've been working towards for the last couple of years has been trying to make EBXML messaging more web service friendly and better integrated with the various families of web service technologies that have developed over the previous 5 years while we've been developing these standards. So that's my background and my driver to what I want us to achieve on messaging. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Jacques Durand, I know you're Director of Engineering and Standards at Fujitsu Software. You're also involved with EBXML for a long time, and at the same time, you're chairing the OASIS EBXML Implementation, Interoperability, and Conformance Technical Committee. Jacques, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and your EBXML engagement.
Yes, I'm working at Fujitsu Software and advising about XML standards and how they should be used in Fujitsu software products. I've been involved in EBXML for a long time as well. That reflects certainly the interest of my company in this technology. I've been involved in EBXML messaging and also more into EBXML, as you say, implementation, interoperability, and conformance committee. I have developed an interest in testing and in conformance about EBXML specifications. And we have developed the first test suite for EBXML messaging. It has been used by several companies, and it has been the basis for conformance badging program, if you want, or certification program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And our third guest is Mike Dillon. Hi, Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Sascha. How are you?
Good. Mike is working for the Drummond Group, a company running interoperability tests for various messaging protocols. And EBXML messaging is one of these protocols. Mike, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yes, sure, Sasha. Thanks for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be in this discussion. I am principal research for Drummond Group, and Drummond Group is an independent, vendor-neutral company. Our goal is to work with both industry and with standards groups to effectively drive global adoption of different software standards, as Sasha mentioned, mostly messaging protocols. Drummond has an annual program for testing of EBXML messaging for interoperability among different groups of software companies, and I've been leading that Drummond program since 2002.
Thank you very much. So let's start with the first and main question for Ian, the chair of EBXML messaging. Question, what is EBXML messaging?
Sasha, in its simplest terms, I think we summed it up at the very beginning, was to have a transport and technology neutral platform that would take any form of data, business payload, whatever you terminology you want to use, and wrap it in such a way that we can effectively move it across any form of network and transport in a consistent manner. But also, as well as doing that very simple thing, it's the value add part is we want to do this in a business quality manner. What we mean by that is that not only do we want to move data, we want to make sure we move it securely, both in terms of making sure that what is actually sent is received, and also in terms of actually being able to make sure that people can't see what they're not supposed to see, data's not corrupted. Exactly the same with the reliability side of the triangle of these various facets you put on messaging, that we want to make sure that if you ask for a message to be sent, that you know it's actually been delivered and what you asked to be sent has been delivered, so that you have positive acknowledgement scenarios. And the other main thing is we effectively are one part of a complete suite of standards to solve the business-to-business problem for inter-business communication of electronic messages. So that we're basically we're the foundation stone of the whole stack. We always plan to be usable as a totally independent piece of software, but our real value is when you integrate not just messaging, but with the CPPA standard for doing the collaboration partner agreements, also with the business process modeling and specification, so that you actually can better define and control your interactions between companies. And I said, in our simple terms, we just want to move data, but we actually put quite a good bit of control and meta information over the top of the data we're moving, so that you can actually see how that data relates to your business transactions without actually having to look at what that data contains. Because background I've come from initially in this area was I used to do a lot of work with EDI transactions, where you have a lot of information in the documents and messages you're exchanging, but to do any useful business process with that, you had to open that data. There was no extra information that, as you transferred the information, about what that information meant, which is the other part of the business quality service that we add, so that we don't just move data, we tell you about it, we make sure it's delivered, and we make sure it's not damaged in any way, so that you can have all these extra facilities on top of a very simple mail type of protocol, where you just put a piece of text in an email, you send it off, and you hope that the person got it, you hope that they understood it, and you hope that they do the thing that you've asked them to do with it. But whereas we've actually put a little more control, and so that's in its simple terms what we think of messaging is and why we try and do a lot of the things we do.
Mm-hmm. Are you proud that EBXML messaging, the one you're chairing, is a very successful EBXML component?
Yes, I am. I think it's the main reasons for that are because we always drove it from the business needs that we had. Our initial requirements that we set out, I said a long time ago, we're going back 5 and 6 years when we started down this road. We actually went and we looked at other messaging standards. We talked to business. I have always tried to bring a business emphasis, and so have several other members of the committees over the years, and not just technology. We've also had some exceptionally gifted technologists helping us to deliver our ideas for what we wanted, and that's I have to thank Kat. Immediately, Mike's name went out of my head. I'll
yep.
go back. Yeah. Okay. One of the technologists I would like to thank is Mike Dillon's mentor in terms of Rick Drummond. He helped us a great deal in the very early days, sort of making sure that we had a focus on solving the business problems, which I think is why it has been such a successful component because people could understand what messaging was about because people were talking about services like SOAP and web services, and they had an idea of EDI and email. So they had an idea for what messaging could do for them, and I think we've added value by adding these extra reliability and security, etc., which people then can exploit. And I hope that we've encouraged people to start looking higher up the value stack in terms of the collaboration partner agreements, the business process, and even the core components work, etc., where people can actually then start getting significant business value and also opportunities to look at some new ways of describing business and especially the interaction between businesses, which they may find gives them extra value. So that's why I think we're successful, and I hope that's what we help people do.
Okay. What's the current status of the technical committee?
Our status at the moment is we have the first core elements of our version 3 messaging actually out for public, first round of public comments as we record this this interview today, Sasha. So we're hoping that people will look at that, which is a more web services oriented architecture from the previous version which we've done, which we think has the benefits of offering better integrated software platforms so that people will be able to do either very simple web services right the way through to very complex business transactions, all using common platforms and common software. And the other things that we've strived very briefly in this overview point is to reuse a lot of the newer technologies that have become available over the last couple of years, such as various messaging reliability standards, the improvement to the web services security. So that's where we are today, and we are moving forward over the next few months to hopefully move that to a full OASIS standard and to develop some extensions to it.
Thank you. Jacques, if I ask you the key features of EBXMN messaging, what's your answer to that?
Yes, we can start with features that have been already supported in EBMS 2 and certainly are again supported in EBMS version 3. EBXML has been is a messaging technology that is not restricted to XML, and you know, as the name could suggest, but it can certainly carry message in very different formats, in EDI or binary format. Any form of format is supported in the payload of the message. Another feature is certainly an integration of reliability techniques and security, and this has been packaged in EBMS 2, and in EBMS 3, these technologies have been leveraging the latest advance in web services protocols, in other words, the reliability and the security of EBXML messages is done in the same way as web services stack do it for web service invocations, if you want. another aspect of EBMS, and this is new in EBMS version 3, is a better support for business transactions. When you look at the way e-business partners do transactions over the internet, these business transactions typically involve patterns of message exchanges that are well defined and that have to be repeated and that have to be certainly complied with. And EBMS version 3 supports these patterns of exchange. It has the notion of message exchange pattern built in, and it is definitely much easier to map these business level message exchange, if you want, to EBMS version 3 messaging. And this is supported by the message handler, if you want. As Ian mentioned, it is also transport independent. It can be the EBXML messaging protocol may be carried over HTTP or SMTP or any other protocol.
In very simple terms, Jacques, what does it mean to send a message reliably over the internet from A to B?
Yes, that's an interesting question. Most people are familiar with security, but not much with what reliability means in terms of messaging. I will just give you an example of reliability. When you can guarantee that a message will be delivered, this is reliability. In other words, that involves some acknowledgement mechanism, and if some acknowledgement is not received, the message sender will resend the message automatically without the user or the application layer having to be aware of that. Now, there are certainly some cases where a message cannot be delivered due to network failure. But in that case, the reliability contract says that it is going to guarantee that the application will be notified of the inability to deliver the message. So you see that reliability is more a contract. Either the message is delivered or you will be notified of the failure. And I should add also that some low-level protocols provide some level of reliability. The TCP/IP protocol, for instance, has a built-in resending mechanism at low level. But what's really needed when you do business-level messaging is end-to-end reliability. In other words, you need to make sure that the message will be delivered even across routers and intermediaries. Low-level protocols cannot guarantee that, even if they are reliable at their level, in other words, from the point of sending to the point of receiving. But certainly a message is going to go through some intermediaries. And that's why end-to-end reliability is required. I should also add that a guaranteed delivery is one aspect. The elimination of duplicates, of messages that are duplicated, is another aspect of reliability. And also in some cases, messages need to be delivered in order. In other words, there is a sequence of messages that need to be delivered in the same order that they have been sent. So all these features are supported by EBMS version 3.
Okay. How about security, Shaq? What are the common parts you're using to provide secure messaging?
Well, security is supported exactly in the same way as it is in a web services stack. It supports, it means that confidentiality, encryption, and digital signatures are supported. In case of the lack of support for secure technology, the most basic username and password technologies are also supported by EBMS 3. In other words, when you want to use EBMS in a very constrained environment where you do not have the ability to support a lot of features like security as it is defined by the conventional web services stack, you can still use username password for a small implementation of EBMS.
I guess digital signature, encryption of payload, and secure transfer protocol are also the core security parts of EBXML messaging. Is that right?
Yes, and again, in the same way as we mentioned for reliability, using a secure transport protocol is not enough. You want end-to-end security, which is what people used to call persistent security. In other words, the message itself has to be secured, that is, either signed or encrypted, even when not traveling over the wire, if you want. The message has to be secure even when it is stored in the database of the message handler, for instance. And this is what EBMS supports.
Mike, in your daily work, I assume you're exposed to various different messaging protocols. What's your take on the EBXML messaging protocol?
Well, I think it's a very well-rounded protocol, and the way that I like to view it is that it's effectively it's a profile of web services that's focused on business document exchange between different organizations. It might be two different corporations or two different government agencies. So effectively, to echo a lot of things that Jock and Ian are saying, it's that kind of business quality issues that you deal with, similar to what you have with EDI, where you want to be able to send the message, know it got there, be able to, after the fact, prove that the message was received. Those kinds of business-level features, which are just a little bit different from maybe your typical web services kind of implementation. We do test a variety of different protocols, but they tend to be focused on that high business-level quality. And what we found is that EBMS, I think, was originally focused on that space, and that the spec is relatively straightforward in how those things are implemented, and that it works very well. And it's well suited to that task, which is essentially sending business documents across the internet between two different organizations.
Mm-hmm. This leads me to the next question, Ian. From your background and experience, are businesses ready to exchange, I guess sometimes confidential business documents over the public internet? Are they fine if they know they have these security and reliability provided to them?
Yes, Sasha. A lot of the security issues that people were concerned about, I think, were for genuine reasons. People just were unsure of new technologies, like most new technologies, and I think people are now very comfortable with the concepts of properly encrypted information using digital signatures, also the use of even the simple HTTPS secure socket layer, TLS, whichever acronyms people are familiar with, in terms of just securing the internet transactions, I think has helped people become a lot more comfortable, because I think it's quite accepted today, because people actually in their own personal lives will use internet banking services, they will order goods over the internet, they will use credit cards. I think because people are more secure and comfortable in their own personal lives with these technologies, that I think when they've seen that sort of technology scaled up to the business, I think it's a lot more accepted now than it certainly was when we started several years ago. And certainly people do exchange relatively confidential information, or sometimes the definition of confidential is more people don't want it seen, because it's more the potential business damage or embarrassment if it is seen by other parties, mainly due to just ordinary business relationships. And also the other driving factor, I think, has been the take-up by several governments for using EBXML messaging for healthcare and government-related initiatives, some of which are over private networks, some of which over public networks, and some of them are over sort of hybrid type of arrangements. But I think it's a lot less of a concern these days, and providing people actually explained that the software has this facility, and if they want to use it, it's available for them, I think they're very comfortable with it. The main challenges tend to actually be at the implementation, that people are sometimes not as aware as possibly they could be, that the implementation actually takes more effort and a more rigorous approach when you actually want your data to be secure. It's just like the simple thing of, If you want your home to be more secure, you're going to put locks on your windows as well as your doors. You can have multiple locks on your doors. And it takes you more effort, and it costs you more time to make it secure, which is the main thing with security that people have found, is if you want your data to be secure, you have to invest a little more effort. But all the facilities are there, and people are very comfortable to use them once they've actually decided it is to their business benefit to protect their data, either because the data is confidential, or it is just very important to them to make sure that the data gets through exactly as they sent it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Rick Drummond himself told me once that a way to achieve adoption such as of the EBXman messaging technology is to provide interoperable solutions. And Mike, your company's work is there to provide interoperability tests for messaging solutions provider. Tell us a little bit more about how you run your tests.
Sure. We've been running EBXML messaging interoperability testing since 2001. We run the test about once a year annually. So we've done five rounds, and we're getting ready for our sixth in the fall of 2006. And effectively what we do is we bring together software companies that have implemented EBXML messaging, and we test them all against each other in a fashion that we tend to call full matrix, which means effectively everybody runs every test against everybody else as both originator and as receiver. And then we go through a methodology where the test is repeated over and over. So the expectation is that people can come to the table with products that may not be completely ready for market. They may be beta. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the test, they will have proven interoperability over the EBXML messaging standard with a group of interoperable companies. So effectively what we're doing is driving a community of interoperable software companies over the standard. They can say that effectively for the large majority of the features that are in the standard, everybody is interoperable with everybody else. And then effectively what we do with that then is we try to promote that to industry, saying that not only does this work, but it's certified to work. It's been certified by a completely neutral third party. So why bother with all this? So I think one of the reasons is, you know, what we've seen and what we hear from end users and industry is that if you have a standard that's, you know, relatively complicated, like most of these software standards are, mm-hmm. they tend to be based upon stacks of standards. So EBXML messaging is a good example. It's based upon MIME. It's based upon SOAP. To a certain extent, it's based upon HTTP and SSL. So there's a large stack of standards, and every one of those standards has options and requirements, and some of those things can be interpreted differently. So effectively, when we come to the table with these different companies, we work through all those little minor issues and get the products all working together. It's one thing to say that you're compliant to a standard, which is great, but being compliant to a standard doesn't necessarily mean that your product or version 2 of your product interoperates with version 3 of somebody else's product. So really what we're doing is driving a confidence for the marketplace that the stuff is real, it works, it's certified, it's been certified by a neutral third party, and the hope is that that confidence will actually drive production adoption, which will, you know, kind of become feed on itself and see larger deployment and awareness of the standard.
Mm-hmm. Please share with us in your interop test runs, what do you see, what are the common problems maybe new players face?
Probably the most common issues that we run into, and this is not just for EBXML messaging, it has to do with any kind of, you know, business-to-business protocol, is related to effectively setting up, like, your firewalls and your digital certificates, kind of, you know, setting up the edge security, if you want to call it that, where you have to open up a port so that your partner can talk to you, and you have to make an agreement that you're using the same kind of digital certificates or that you can accept their digital certificates. So we see that over and over, and it's not just directly related to EBXML messaging. It would be related to the other protocols we test, like AF2 or to web services, too, anything like that. That's probably the most common issue. One of the things we see a lot is with some of the underlying standards, there are just a lot of different ways they're going about doing them. There's a lot of options. We run into a lot of minor issues with MIME, for example, and if I know probably most people are familiar with MIME, but effectively it's the format that Internet mail messages take and that EBXML leverages. And there's a lot of different, you know, headers that you can use. And like, this is a simple example. Mm-hmm. Some MIME headers are required to be case-sensitive or insensitive, and some are not. So little minor issues like that, when people are implementing their products, they might overlook something like that in their own internal testing. And those kind of things come out when you start testing against other people. And we try to find and fix as many of those as we can and document them so that we have an ongoing list of those kinds of problems. So typically it tends to be either security on the edge or relatively simple consensus kind of agreements that everybody's clear on the underlying standards and how the underlying standards work. Once you get into encryption and signature, it's not unusual to see some relatively difficult problems, because what most software companies tend to do is go out and outsource that security functionality to what you might call security toolkit vendors.
Yep.
So we do run into some issues there, and those tend to be the most complicated because you have to bring in even another third party into the mix. But usually get our way past those, and so I'd say those are probably the most, you know, the security technologies and the underlying standards, usually minor problems that need to be fixed and agreed upon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ian, and a short question for you, doing computer science and then learning about messaging. There are two kind of ways of exchanging information, and I guess it's all question. Procedure calls versus messaging. That's not really related to EBXML messaging, but can you, how do you see the two, the messaging versus procedure calls, Shock?
Yes. Well, as you know, messaging has been around for a while, and people used to talk of message-oriented middleware or MOM. And certainly MOMs support a publish-subscribe mechanism where when a message arrives at some point, someone is going to asynchronously get this message and process it. And certainly we have been hearing a lot recently about the procedure calls. These have been around for a while, but these also have been, remodeled into web services and web services invocation. Well, when you look at the e-business market, there are certainly very different types of messaging, if you want. Some use of messaging have a lot to do with a service invocation. You have a service provider advertising a service that's like a stock quote or currency a conversion service, for instance. And certainly these are very well-established services with very well-defined interfaces, and they can be invoked remotely by your application. And certainly this is this is definitely very well within the service invocation model. But for many other type of e-business exchange that are very heavily document-oriented, where you may want to transfer very diverse types of document, and certainly when I say many, it's in the hundreds and often in the thousands of different types of documents. For instance, even if a user community has agreed on a standard purchase order document, if you want, there will always be customization. This is the rule and not the exception. Companies and people always need to customize their business documents. So you end up with a very large number of different document types. And in that case, the service invocation model is not always best suited for doing the exchange. And that's where you really want a messaging system that is open to very diverse way to bind the message to the backend systems. And I can tell you, for instance, that if you use a messaging system like EBMS, you'll be able to get your message processed in a very diverse way on the back end. The message can still be invoking a service, which is fine, but it could be queued, waiting to be consumed by another application, or it may enter a message workflow process. It may be expected by an already running business process. It may be batched for delayed processing. It may be routed over an enterprise service bus in SOA architectures. So there are really very diverse ways, very different ways to consume a message, and you just don't want to coerce your application to use just one of these. If you are into designing message-oriented middleware or any business system, you really want to keep all these options open.
Ian, from your EDI background and your experience within your big company, messaging versus remote procedure calls or synchronous versus asynchronous, is this still a topic today?
Yes, exactly what you said, Sasha. The remote procedure calls are generally seen as a synchronous, small data transfer mechanism, as Jacques was saying, in terms of simple request response where you need an answer immediately, whereas the messaging approach has generally been where either it was a large quantity of data was being exchanged, or it was something where you didn't need an instant answer, as Jacques said. It's the order invoice cycle as opposed to the stock quote cycle, and that's the main difference as far as I would make it in simple terms. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with the way that technology has moved and the availability of higher speed connections, the distinction I think today is getting very blurred, especially with the web service model, where you can have something that can have the facets of both technologies in terms of relatively large message data being exchanged, but in a synchronous manner, which traditionally had been quite difficult to do. And I certainly know of an instance where very large messages are exchanged synchronously using a messaging infrastructure, but it is a messaging infrastructure and not a remote procedure call infrastructure. But if you actually looked at it, you probably would find it very difficult to distinguish between the two. So I think today the concept is becoming very blurred, but I think in simplistic terms, it's remote procedures are small, quick transactions, whereas messaging tends to be either large or slow, or large and slow. But I think those terms these days are very relative, whereas certainly 5 and 10 years ago, you were talking about sort of 1 and 2 second responses as opposed to possibly an hour or a day, whereas today both types of transactions can occur in sort of a second or two over public networks.
Mm-hmm. You are basically providing plumbing with eBXML messaging so that people get the message from A to B and same way back. Do you see people interested in making use of those metadata, the additional business process data you provide within the eBXML message header, for example? Do you see people want to go that path? People want to make use of that additional information. Ian, you mentioned it before.
Yeah, I'll take that, Sasha. Yes, I certainly have seen that, and there are certain systems where if you didn't have that information, you would actually have to make the system either a lot more complicated or you would have had to invent it yourself, because frequently today, large corporates tend to have very sophisticated firewalls and also very robust gateway products, which means that they tend to handle the external connectivity and all the security, compression, reliability, all those things that you want for actually transferring the data over the public network. But they don't want to have to worry about anything about what's actually inside the data. So they actually do need and use this information so that they can then perform internal routing, or even in certain circumstances, I have not personally seen this, but I certainly know of companies that have done it, where they actually take the metadata that we have telling you what the message is and actually use that to perform an internal service invocation, which is why I was explaining that there's a very big blur between remote procedure call and messaging today, where the external facing part of the company is very message oriented, but internally they're very procedure call type of service oriented architectures, so that they actually transform between the two. And if without this metadata, they would actually have to open up potentially very large messages where they don't want to deal with that. All they want to know is, I have received a message from company A. It tells me it's an invoice and it's for department B, so I will just send that straight off to department B, tell them it's an invoice coming over their invoicing message pipe, and they'll just pass back the response even synchronously, and then they will then shoot that straight back out to the original company and say, yes, we've got your invoice, we've processed it, we'll pay you at some point in the future. And that information is being used, and I know of another application where I have seen it, where the metadata is actually used to control the flow through a very complex business scenario, because the interaction between the two companies is potentially iterative and complex in terms of having, I think, if my memory serves me, there's 8 different states that the transaction can be in, and there's up to 20 transitions between those states, because things can be failed and moved back to earlier states, so that the actual state charts are very complicated for that example, and the only way they could do it and actually make it work reliably was to actually use all this extra metadata to say what the message contained, because otherwise they would have had to bring a lot of business logic from the application actually into the gateway, whereas by having this information, they could just have relatively straightforward state tables and state rules about the message and what they said without actually having to decode the message. So this information is potentially very valuable, and as people are becoming more familiar with these concepts and the availability of the information, they'll be doing some very sophisticated business transactions with this technology.
Mm-hmm. Jacques, from your side, I mean, if partners want to exchange these messages, including those metadata, those business transaction-related metadata, first they have to also agree on which data they're going to put there, right? When we all recall the eBXMF framework as a set of independent components but aligned with each other, that we have the collaborative business process, and then we break it down to messaging. You see the same happening, Jacques?
Yes, there is definitely an advantage in having in the standard eBXML message header, having this metadata, which some people might think belongs more to the payload of the message. But having this represented in the header of the message allows for much more than just moving the message around. It allows for doing some monitoring. It allows for a better binding with the upper layers of messaging, which, for instance, is supported by EBBP or EBXML, formerly BPSS, you know, the business transaction definition layer. So definitely this is a big plus to have this information in the header, and which allows in particular to dissociate it from the level of security that the payload may require. The payload may be encrypted, but some of the metadata will still be accessible in the message header.
Mm-hmm. Mike, are you planning or are you already doing interoperability tests with using the upper layers, looking at the eBXML collaboration protocol agreement or eBXML business process, or do you see a need for doing that in the coming weeks, months, years?
Well, it's a hard question to answer. Typically what we tend to do is we kind of try and estimate what people are looking for and what people are supporting, so it's always kind of somewhat of a guessing game. But we currently do not require CPA, EBXML CPA, which Jacques and Ian have been talking about, but we do see that the vast majority of products out there do actually use it and support it. So what we end up testing really is messaging products that support CPA, collaborative partner agreements, and messaging products that don't. So we end up testing against ones that support it, ones that don't support it, so It's technically not required by the messaging standard.
Yes.
We have not heard a lot of discussion about, you know, the business process levels. There are some parts of EBXML, and this is true with a lot of standards, where interoperability testing is just maybe something that just doesn't make a lot of sense, and that may be true with something like core components, which is, you know, kind of a lower level part of EBXML that talks about kind of like best practices for how you put together business data components, things like that. So at this point, it's really just messaging and CPA, and CPA is optional. There is, I know there's a lot of work being done around registry, but we have not directly looked into that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sure, if an end user is going to ask for it, you're gonna have an open ear there. And now a question to prove or to show us that EBXML messaging is real. Please share some successful EBXML messaging implementations that you are aware of. Maybe Ian, you want to start? You have some knowledge of some successful EBXML messaging implementations?
The ones that I have the greatest knowledge of, obviously, are from my own company, BT. And we have a successful implementation used for the repair management of our broadband provisioning systems, so that when companies wish to report potential faults on broadband circuits which they lease from BT, that they can do it automatically electronically, so that we can actually then run batches of tests interactively between the two companies, so that as soon as the fault is logged, people can actually sort of instigate that, and a whole set of tests and scenarios are run between ourselves and the company that's leased the circuits from us over broadband circuits to individual homes and businesses. And then if those tests are not successful, it even goes into a interactive process to allow the companies that have leased this, which are predominantly independent service providers of various communication services, to offer their end customers choices of appointments, etc. So this is quite a complex business scenario, which is what I was hinting at earlier in terms of higher up the stack, not just messaging. Messaging does all the interaction, but we have lots of other things on top. There's also been several other implementations related to that, and also we were part of the group of companies that have implemented a healthcare network for the UK, which is based on EBXML messaging and a whole range of other technologies and standards, which has potentially very high throughputs.
Mm-hmm. Shark, I know your companies are active in Japan and the Asian region. Do you have any success stories?
Yes, there are definitely quite a few large, very large projects in Japan that are adopting EBXML messaging. The Japan Electronic Information Technology Association, JETA, is certainly developing a lot his next infrastructure around EBXML messaging. But without going as far, I should also mention, just to reflect the level of adoption in Asia, mm-hmm. that there is a well-known eBusiness Asia Committee that is a consortium of several companies, technology companies, but also governments. And this consortium has created an EBXML certification and interoperability testing program, and they deliver certificates of interoperability to their constituents. And this consortium is meeting every year, and certainly I've been attending a few of these, and there are quite a significant number of companies participating into this, and they take this very seriously. and they participate into testing rounds, and the newcomers certainly have also to test the interoperability of their messaging endpoint with the other participants. But we should also mention, in without going that far, in US there have been quite large projects based on EBXML messaging, like the Department of Defense EMOL in 2004 has adopted EBXML messaging for a very high volume procurement system.
Mm-hmm. Also, the US Public Health Information Network is using EBXML messaging. So, seems quite some industries or government are making use of EBXML messaging.
Yes, I think you had in mind probably the Center for Disease Control or CDC
that has been
aggressively deploying and using EBXML for all their interagencies message exchanges.
Yeah. Upcoming 3.0 features, maybe quickly, Jacques, I'm aware that you're having good end-users requirements. Want to share one or two new features?
Yes. One feature we didn't mention before, and that certainly is addressing a very pressing user need, if you want, is addressing the needs for small and medium businesses of users who are very constrained in the way they do messaging. For instance, they do not have a static IP address, or they have a security restriction that prevents them to receive incoming calls or requests, let's say on HTTP protocol, for instance. So they can only initiate requests to outside, but they cannot receive incoming requests. In this case, the message pooling feature has been added in EBMS 3, and that allows a business partner to pool messages that have been stored for this partner remotely, and so you can send a message and you can pool message that you want to receive. An additional requirement is that this pooling has to be quite selective. In other words, a small and medium businesses don't want to take responsibility for storing message for a long time before they can process it. In other words, the just-in-time policy applies here as well. You just want to receive message at the time you are able to process them. You don't want to receive them too early or too soon, because there is some liability. You may lose this message. You know, if your system is crashing, or in other words, there is certainly some concern about this. So in order to address this, EBMS version 3 has provided some selective pooling capability using some what we call message partition flows. And so, for instance, your business partner may send you purchase orders as well as invoices, but you may want to pool only the purchase orders or the invoice first. And with this feature, you'll be able to do this selective pooling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ian, you mentioned it a few times, this is a big topic, EBXML and web service convergence, and it seems EBXML messaging is doing its part to converge with the web services technologies. What can you say about these convergence questions? Does it matter, and is it important?
Well, we've done this mainly at the request of the user community, because they were concerned about the various statements around web services and certain industry comments that EBXML, etc., was a dead-end technology, and I think it was reasonably misled. So what we have done, we have just sort of done a relatively small amount of re-architecting of how we work, so that we can then use exactly the same web services that people will use standalone, such as we use web services security, the various web services reliability protocols will be reusable, so that people can actually build build on standard platforms. Also, we're hoping that it will aid adoption because people will see it as part of a range of services that then the vendors can offer them, rather than actually having to buy something that specifically handles EVXML. It will just be part of the entire web services platform that the vendors will make available for them. And also the other thing which I'd like to stress is that what we've really done is we've gone one step beyond just taking a profile of a selection of web services. We've taken a selection of web services that addressed particular functional needs that we had, plus we've added extra information in our own, for want of a better description, our own header information, our own metadata with the existing web services. So we've actually done something that a lot of people talk about, but there's been very little actually in the marketplace in a sort of a published standard way in terms of the what the people keep talking of web service composability in terms of taking a selection of web services. The only other initiative that really has tried going this way was the web services interoperability organization, but they were just publishing profiles for how to use some of these standards together. Whereas we said we actually have a business need, and this is actually how to take the web services plus some extra information to be able to effectively leverage some existing technology, also to hopefully widen the adoption and availability, so that we don't see the divide that certain factions tried to say there were a couple of years ago in terms of you either did web services or you did EVXML. We never said that. We always said that EVXML was really just a sophisticated web service or a collection of web services to perform a particular business need, which is now what we've done is actually exactly that. We just reuse what other people have already done so that we can actually get a lot more business benefit, and we can reuse existing standard technologies so that we have to actually develop less new ideas of our own. We just want to make sure that it provides the business what they need.
We're coming to the end of this interview. If you please would summarize your thoughts on EVXML messaging in particular, or B2B, business-to-business electronic commerce in general. Let's start with Mike. From your point of view, what's your summary?
Sure. I don't know if we made all these points, but just kind of summarize. I think from my point of view, EVXML messaging is effectively a profile of web services for business document exchange between corporations or between government agencies or whoever, any kind of disparate organizations. Where the data can be of any type. It can be XML, EDI, it could be graphics, it could be MP3 files, it could literally be anything, and multiple documents can go in a single message. It's a mature standard. It's based on open standards. It's proven and certified highly interoperable. It can be in any industry. There's a lot of deployment going on. There's a lot of production deployment has been a little bit slow, but it's picking up and it's global. One of the ones we didn't mention was Volkswagen of America and General Motors are both having huge production deployments going on in the U.S., and there's more that we didn't mention. Oasis does do adoption updates from time to time, so you can look at their website and see that. So effectively, it's working. It's starting to gain adoption, and as Ian said, it's based. There's a very clear business use case for it, and I believe that we're going to see continued adoption of it in the coming years.
Thank you. Jacques?
Yes, I think it's worth mentioning the interest of governments into EVXML. I see that I'm certainly tracking large projects going on in Europe as well as in Japan, and as we have mentioned government agencies like DOD and CDC in the U.S. There is certainly a big interest in a messaging middleware that is based on open standards, that is able to carry very diverse types of payloads, that is not owned by a single or a couple of large companies, and certainly we have seen that with EVXML. There is a lot of open source that's going on around EVXML messaging. We also see the the interest of many e-business partners into a model, a messaging model that does not restrict them to a particular way to do some message binding to with their application. In other words, the service invocation model is very good in some cases, but not so good in other cases. And when you do basically document exchanges, clearly there are very diverse ways you want to consume this document on the back end, and this is definitely a big value of EBXML messaging in allowing to do that and not restricting you to do one form of consumption of your message, but allowing, you know, very diverse ways to bind to your back-end applications. And the last point I would say that has been already said during this interview is the fact that the EBXML messaging certainly is converging a lot with the web services technologies, especially on the protocol side, yet it adds some what we used to call metadata, which is it really adds a business-level header in the message. And that seems to be of great value to many users. In other words, they do not buy just a technology infrastructure. They buy also a business model, if you want, or the way to actually map their business to the messaging layer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Ian?
Just like to say thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to everybody today, Sasha, and to pick up a couple of points that Jacques had said. I was going to make the point about the fact that EBXML is part of the, I think, the open standards community, and it's sort of royalty-free. It's not patent-restricted. Also, the other point is that the existing version 2, which is the predominantly deployed standard at the moment, is ISO recognized, so it is a proper real standard that has effectively official backing. And the big thing I'd like to sort of say at this is what we've got out there today is deployable, it is supported, it is being used. It's not new, it's a mature technology. There are several software vendors who have very good products for supporting this the messaging and the other parts of EBXML. As Jacques said, there's open source available. If people are interested in this, there's plenty of software out there. There are people who have used it. There are use cases and reference papers, etc., that have been published both on OASIS and through the COBRA pages, etc. There's quite a bit of information out there. And the other sort of sales pitch is what we've got there works. We're still working. We've got more to come. And if anybody has suggestions for things they'd like to see, the TC would certainly love to hear from anybody who has deployed EBXML messaging and found there's something that they would really like to do but we don't have yet. Or if somebody would like to deploy it but can't because there is a facility which they desperately need, which we haven't done. So that's my sales pitch and plea. It all works. It's going to do more. And if anyone's got requests, please tell us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jacques, Ian, and Mike. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Sasha.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thanks, Sasha. Just a quick word, Sasha,
okay.
Off record, but. Yeah, I think when we talked about metadata, I wasn't sure if that was well defined. Maybe you might want to add your own, one sentence or two of explanation of what the metadata is in the message header. You know, the first time this appears in the interview, I may have missed that, but it occurs to me that you know it's not obvious for listeners.
Good catch.
You know what that means.
Good catch. I can do that. Okay, I probably gonna get some time this week to do the editing of this interview. I'm gonna send you a pre-version of it, and if you okay it, that's gonna be the version we send to OASIS, and that's where we're gonna put on ebxml.org.
I think this one was a lot smoother. I think there's a lot less ums, ahs, and hey, I'm the only person that actually yelled cut.
Okay. Yeah, I still gonna do edit. I cut out some airs and ums.
Yeah. But I'm not too disappointed actually having a second second attempt. I know it's proved very painful to get us all together, but I'd just like to say thank you to Mike and Jacques for helping Sasha as well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I think actually getting some of this, and as Mike knows, I was talking to Rick and Beth in the week. It was last week, about some of these related issues, about how we actually can sort of do some more publicity. So I'm sure once you get this sort of information up there, Sasha, I would not be surprised if the Drummond Group would probably like to link to it as well, because I think it would be useful for some of their work that you've done, Mike.
I mean, when I originally sent the email and the invitations to you, I want to make sure that this audio will be available under the Creative Commons license, so everybody can take this audio file and put it up on their own homepage or company page. And everybody can download it and send it around . So that it's
What is the main website that it's going to be posted on, Sasha?
We are fortunate to get a page on www.ebxml.org, and all 10 or 11 interviews will be there, and you're allowed and encouraged even to take it and put it up on your homepage as well, or your company site, or link to
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks. It was a great experience. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks very much, everyone, and see you and hear you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. Okay, and here I would like to add what is meant by these types of metadata. In the EBXML message, we have metadata that is related to the overall collaborative business process. That metadata is called service, and within that collaborative business process, there are individual business transactions, and they could be referenced as actions. So the metadata is called action, which then relates to the ongoing business transaction. And in EBXML messaging 3.0, the end users will be able to add their individual business related information. Okay, cut.